David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody. And today's the we have a special guest today. It's Samirin, and I'd like to welcome him to The Advisor. We're very excited to have you, Samirin. He is a amazing independent consultant. He's worked for many prestigious companies in the past, like Microsoft, and he has done amazing things. And he's here today to talk about technology and to provide us with a lot of fun facts about technology, how it applies in today's society, how you could utilize some of these things into your own world, and how it could help you in the present and in the future. Samirin, I am so happy to have you here today. I'm very excited to have you on our show today. Why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Hey, thanks, Stacey. Thanks so much for having me. And thank you, everyone, for kind of tuning in to listen to me. Little bit about myself. I've kind of got about 29 years of experience. And this is the kind of thing I used to hear my parents say that, you know, I have so much experience. I never knew I would be the one saying it one day. most of it has been in technology. Strange fun fact, my education has been completely in the world of finance. And very, very early in my career, I realized I was quite bad at it. So not good enough to make a dent, at least. So that's how technology started for me. And I've been since then, like we kind of chatted, I've been with Tata Consultancy Services in India, IBM for a fairly long time, Microsoft, Dun & Bradstreet. Somewhere in 2018, I decided that I'm going to be independent and just follow my own agenda, so to speak. So post that, I've been an independent consultant, advisor to startups and large corporates. I do a lot of keynotes, speaking, panels, moderating and participating, write in a regular column in a newspaper. And I have my own podcast, which is called Three Techies Banter. And we kind of call it a fun tech podcast because we kind of look at technology with a fun lens. So that's me in a very, very short burst.
You know, technology has basically has taken over the world, and you know, it's an important aspect to understand. You know, there's so many different things, and technology has brought us so far in today's society. And you know, I know that you like to talk about technology and how it plays a role in our daily lives. And you know, there's so much we can go into, but what are some of the important things that you'd like the listeners to know about technology and how it applies in today's world and how it could actually help us if we utilize it properly, especially with startup businesses and, you know, trying to move forward in life?
I'll kind of talk about it from a very, very personal experience, though it was kind of probably the shortest piece of my experience, but it probably had the most lasting impact.
Yes.
So sometime in my career in IBM, I took a 1-year break to go and work on this digital identity program that India was rolling out
right.
in 2011-12. And at that time, you know, we really didn't have identity. I think less than 10-15% of the country was even banked.
Yeah.
And that's when I think I was truly hit with the realization of what technology can do to kind of, you know, having a far-reaching impact, both for good as well as for good business. You know? So I think as that program rolled out, you know, we covered 1 billion+ people with digital identity. The total cost of that program was like $1 a person when it was finally done, you know, which is kind of one of the cheapest programs in the world. At the height of its rollout, we were doing 1 million registrations a day, and you know, huge. And the beauty of it was its simplicity. So if you kind of look at a country like India, you realize that not everybody has great credentialing. You know, people are homeless, orphans. People don't have a fixed address. So we had kind of simplified it to the extent where, you know, we just needed four fields to kind of register yourself, because their inclusion was the criteria and not information gathering, you know, that we wanted to include as many people as possible. So, which was a very powerful concept. And I mean, as we kind of went forward, we realized that as people got identity, then, you know, it became easier for us to find these people and pass on benefit to them, whether it be subsidies, whether it be, you know, device programs, because now you could actually digitally find people. And that's how the next wave of payments came into India. And I think that's another kind of a global case study, which is UPI, which is, you know, we do about more than 10 billion transactions a month. And I think the people who do it are to be believed, it kind of has a potential to go about 10x still. So I mean, that's when I realized, I mean, to kind of, without kind of monopolizing the conversation,
but
that's when I saw technology kind of working at a scale and at a pace that, you know, both delivered good as well as created opportunity for people to build on top and, you know, create great businesses. I mean, in the example of the payments infrastructure, several unicorns have been created in India, which have kind of been built on that UPI infrastructure, you know? So, like I said, good business and good, general good. So that's when I realized that, you know, technology can be such a force for good if used correctly.
Yes. And for startup businesses, you know, how can people implement good technology into their businesses to help them grow? Because now they have so many different softwares that can help people, you know, really understand, you know, who their audience is, how they need to grow, where they need to focus on, what they're lacking, what they're, you know, maybe have too much of. You know, what are your, when you have a startup business that comes to you, are there any particular things that you ask them or you make sure that they need to implement into their businesses? Because I think today there's so many businesses start and they, you know, by the end of the year, you see a lot of businesses don't make it. You know, there's a high percentage in the United States that, you know, people start up business all the time or they struggle, especially now after COVID hit. You know, businesses struggle and, you know, the usage of technologies can help people really grow and understand their customers, keep in touch with their customers. Are there any suggestions, you know, that you give your clients, you know, when they have a startup business to make sure they implement certain things into their business that can help them grow and help them have a long, successful career?
Oh, no, that's actually a very good question. And coming from the world of technology, I can quite honestly admit that the answer to that question actually does not lie in technology.
Oh, really?
So I mean, while of course there are lots of facets of technology and there are lots of things you can use. I mean, to put it very simply, you can use all kinds of email to communicate. You can do all kinds of collaborations to do stuff. You can develop tools on different kinds of platforms. But I think what I ask and question, or at least try and ascertain from people, is that, you know, what is the problem they are trying to solve and how passionately do they believe that they can solve it? You know, I mean, so in India, you know, quite contrary to, you know, you usually think about people moving into white spaces and all that. In fact, I have kind of seen very, very strange examples of people actually building a product in a monopoly market. So, you know, there is a company that kind of started a shaving product. And then, you know, in India also, Gillette enjoys 60-70% of the market. But they were able to create a niche in that product because of a price point, because of packaging, because of innovation. And they are doing well. There are companies that are making ice cream. There are companies that are making, you know, luggage. So there is another company that kind of came out, and in India there are one or two very large players that dominate and have 60-70% of the market share. So again, you know, very counterintuitive, but you know, if you and to that point, that if you kind of have a great idea and you're passionate about it and you know how to follow through and all of that, I think those I have found to be very good. and very, very important for startups. In terms of the technology and the product, I would say more is achieved by trial and error than by a fixed roadmap. Because I think the days of a roadmap that, you know, I'm going to do this for the next 1 year, 2 year, 3 years is kind of just doesn't happen, you know. So most of the times where, and I guess, I mean, we have it in India and Bangalore, and I'm sure that's true of Silicon Valley or wherever. I think more is achieved by conversation and collaboration and being in that vibrant innovation environment where you're constantly, you know, meeting people who are solving the same problem.
Yeah.
And I think that seems to be much more powerful than saying, okay, I'm going to use, you know, Zoom to do my calls, and I'm going to do, you know, it's a constant state of innovation. And that's why you find so many new companies coming out with so many new tools, and each one has a different niche, a different requirement. And we've seen that even in the world of AI, you know, some people like ChatGPT, some people like Gemini, some people like Claude, and some people like DALL-E, some people like Midjourney, and what have you, you know. So each one, there is something that is good for everyone, but I think you need to figure out what's good for you. Short answer, I think from a startup's perspective, I think that that problem definition and why do you think that problem needs to be solved, and why do you think that you're the person who should solve it, is more important than what you throw at it, you know? Because I think that it could be solved in one of many ways, and it's not important that you kind of write the technology into the problem. You kind of solve it, figure out how to solve it. So,
you know, because, you know, nowadays they're coming out with so many different technologies. And you hear people talking about, I use this, then I use that, and I use this. And I think for people too, you know, they get confused. They don't know what to do. They don't, you know, they invest in all these things, and for most of the time, they're probably wasting their money, throwing their money away. And, you know, and my thing is just that, you know, I like the fact that, you know, you mentioned that you don't really need all these technologies. You know, it's you know, focusing on the business and focusing on the people and understanding, I think is the message you're trying to get across. And, you know, because it's so confusing, I think, to a business owner or even person trying to begin a business, because there's so much out there now. You know, people are trying to take it over the top. You know, they're trying to, you know, and you see all these different things. And it's like, you say to yourself, do I really need this? You know, is this really worth the investment? And I feel so many people are making investments into different technologies and softwares that are out there that they probably don't even need. And they're just throwing their money away. What do you think about that?
I think each one needs to kind of decide on their goal and be focused on it. Fashion investing in technology is the worst thing that you can do, because, you know, I just need all the coolest gadgets and the coolest equipment, and that's what is going to get me past the finish line. I think it is, you know, call me old fashioned, but I think it's still about the business. It's about the profitability. It's about doing what's right for the customer, and then let the technology flow into that. I mean, I can kind of tell you, I mean, you're probably a much more of an expert at this than I am, that, you know, when you kind of start even in anything, like if be it a podcast, I mean, you can buy the fanciest mics and the fanciest this thing, but I think you need to get your content strategy correct. I mean, you need to be sure about what you're going to say, and there's listeners out there. I mean, if you just use a simple mic and record, you'll still get an audience, but, you know, the equipment will not get you
right
the people, you know, if you have nothing important to say. And I think that simple illustration applies in every aspect of business, or be it a startup or be it a large corporate. So, you know, just because someone else is buying it doesn't make it right for you. And, you know, maybe they are in a different space and a different stage of their development that they need it. You know, so I think it's, I mean, if you kind of take lessons from the simple things that around you and the simple things that have worked for other people, it'll be easier than trying to, you know, be trendy.
I agree with you. You know, I knew one person. He made a very good income, and you know, he worked from his basement. He put a sheet that looked like a curtain, you know, like that you would go on top of a podium, and you know, it looked like a stage, and he would speak from his basement, you know, and it looked like he was on stage. And it was a very simple setup, and he did very well for himself. And he did invest like tons and tons of money into it. You know, he just got what he needed, and he did very well for himself. And sometimes, you know, even though some of these technologies that come out are really interesting and they look really cool, you know, you have to stop and say, do I really need that? Is that really a good investment? You know, what is that going to do for me? You know, and is it going to heighten me and make my business a better business? You know, and some of these technologies, they come out and they look like they have a, you know, they say they could do X, Y, and Z. And then you go into the software, and for someone that doesn't have a technical background, it could be very confusing. You know, some of these technology softwares that they sell, you know, that I've looked at, some of them are very simple to use and some of them are very difficult to use, you know, so, there is so much out there now, you know, we are bombarded by technology. It's really, I think, focusing on what we, like you said, what we really need, what's really important, you know, and sometimes it's not the technology, it's the product or the service you're providing and how you provide it to the people that really matters is the message that I'm getting. How do you feel about that?
You know, I completely, completely on board with what you are saying, because I think it's got to do with you know, buying of technology. I mean, if you're like a corner store mom and pop shop, and you know, you want to do your accounts, and maybe it's just good, it's just all right to do it with a plain old fashioned paper ledger. I mean, why do you need a system? But you know, tomorrow if you decide to say I'm going to kind of throw an SAP at it, it's just kind of killing a mosquito with a howitzer gun. I mean, there's just no need for that. And that's when all the issues you talked about rise, right? Because now you have a skills issue. You don't know what to get out of the system. You don't understand the system. You know, you are asking for something it's not able to give. So I think it needs to be, for want of a better word, appropriate technology. It needs to fit in your environment. It needs to be calibrated to the skills you have, to what you can absorb and assimilate. And what you can best leverage, you know, if you kind of just have something and you're kind of getting more out of it, is better than buying something which is like out of proportion, you know, and you're unable to get anything out of that system.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looks fantastic on paper, and you know, but you just seem to be getting nothing out of that, right?
Right.
And we've seen so many examples of people rushing to buy enterprise software, rushing to buy what have you, and then it's just kind of, you know, one fine day is just thrown away and people just go back to, you know, oh, you know, we don't want to do this. So I think that is very, very important. And that is also one of the reasons why technology gets a bad name. Because it is like, you know, people just buy it for no reason at all or without thinking it through. And, you know, technology is out there. You know, you can use it for whatever purpose you want.
Yeah.
But that decision needs to be... You have to be responsible and take ownership of that decision. And you know, say that, you know, do I really? I mean, it's like anything else you buy, right? At home. And I kind of always go back to these basic examples. I mean, would you really buy a 1,000-watt bulb to light up the porch of your house? Or would you just buy some? You know, it's like, you know, it's not, and you don't buy the brightest bulb that you go in, or you don't buy the biggest refrigerator.
Yeah.
Use in your home, you know, it's stuff like that, right? And you don't buy the most fancy sofa if you want. You just buy something that fits in your living room and fits the decor and all of that, right? And so same is the case with, you know, why can you confuse the issue with technology then? You know, it needs to fit in the space that it's supposed to work, right? I mean, so that's, I mean, that's really the most commonsensical way of understanding this. I mean, there is, I mean, and you don't need expensive consultants to tell you that.
Uh-huh. I love that the fact that you know, tell me a little about your podcast, because you have your podcast provides a lot of fun facts and you know, fun technology, you know, people to learn about technology but not be overwhelmed by, you know, some of the complexities of it. You make it fun, you make it easy to understand, and you help people so they can grow. So tell me a little about, I want to hear a little about your podcast and what goes on behind the scenes and what you guys talk about.
So we kind of whenever we were talking about technology, listening to technology, it's kind of always very serious and grim, and people seem to be very taking each other very seriously, you know, like, you know, and they don't want to kind of. So we felt that, you know, we should kind of bit of myth busting there, in terms of that it doesn't need to be serious, and just like it kind of we're having this conversation, right? I mean, it can be commonsensical, and you know, it kind of anybody should be able to relate to any example, because the same example of appropriateness, I can kind of go into technical jargon and, you know, start talking technical specs and say that, you know, why this is right and wrong for you and all, but or I can give you a drawing room light bulb refrigerator example and make you understand, right? So right. I think that was the real genesis of why we did it. And in fact, one of us, Nilesh, he's kind of comes from a very formal technical background. I'm kind of somewhere middling. And the other person, Sheetal, she is actually from a marketing background. So, you know, we kind of balance each other out so that we are kind of always asking each other, you know, that, you know, what are people looking for? Is this understandable? Is it easy? Is it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, what are people really thinking about? And that's how topics and things, you know, just something that interests us, we pick it and then we kind of dissect that. Supposing we don't know enough about a topic, we kind of get a guest in and, you know, they kind of have a kind of demystify something. So it's just kind of an easy format. We've kind of really, unfortunately, not really done a great job with monetizing it or anything, so it's all coming out of our pocket now, but it's fun. We like it because we decide what we say. We have no compulsions. We don't promote anything.
We
have fun with our artwork. We even have a we did a couple of trailer videos where we did just fun producing it. We actually with a group of friends, we wrote out the song, and actually it's a jingle, so we kind of did a jingle on one of the pieces of Sound of Music and stuff like that, so we kind of try to keep it fun and you know, try to convey to people that we are having fun doing it. You know, you can't look serious and say I'm having fun. You know, this is me having fun and have a serious so that's how the journey has been. It's been interesting. We've done longer episodes. We've had something like shorts where we kind of do trivial facts about, you know, how a mummy from Egypt needed a visa because it was going for restoration work, and why the, you know, the size or the dimensions of a rocket is a certain length.
Yeah,
because it kind of traces back to, you know, being taken on railway carriages, and those were built basically on Roman chariots, and basically it came down to the size of the horse's ass. that was what it did. So I mean, so like from rocket ships to horses' asses kind of stuff. So we kind of it's like interesting things that we kind of bring to light. So there is trivia, there is fun facts, and we're always looking for new ways to do things. You know, maybe in the future we'll do a live. We're thinking of kind of getting onto internet radio and stuff. So yeah, but whatever budget and time permits. But yeah, it's been fun, and we've got a lot of ancillary benefits out of it.
Right.
A lot of you know, people who never knew us felt that, oh great, you know, this is, you didn't know you could do this. So, you know, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I realize, you know, I've understood this better for the first time. So, which is kind of a big kick.
Yeah, right. No, I like that. I like that a lot. I think it's nice when you can make, you know, take topics like, you know, that are sometimes difficult to understand, or people are serious when they talk about technology, and just, you know, loosen up and make it fun and make it easy. Because nowadays, if you listen, when they say write books, for instance, write it on a sixth grade level. It used to be an eighth grade level. Now it's a sixth grade level. So if you're talking about technology and you're talking about it, you know, on a higher level, it's going to go past most people's heads. But if you talk about it fun and you make it easy and you compare it to a horse's ass, you know, people are going to... People are going to understand, you know.
I said, yeah, I get that. Definitely.
You know, so I like that. I think that's a great idea. I think it's fun. It's easy. People are learning and they're laughing at the same time. And that to me, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes things are more of a stand-up comedy show than a tech show. But yeah.
Laughter makes the world go around, you know. 70% of illnesses are caused by stress. So if we could bring a little laughter into everything, that
absolutely
would be a great
I
thing,
agree.
You know. And you know, I was wanted to ask you before the show, we were talking a little about AI, and AI has, you know, it's big, you know, AI has been here for a very long time. Like we have one of our speakers that comes on, you know, his name is Mark, and he comes on a lot. And he was actually one of the technologists that actually created AI back in the day for the military when it all started. And, you know, I didn't realize at that time that AI has been here for so long, you know, because it just really has, you know, exploded in our society. People, you know, they have AI this, AI that, AI for, you know, pictures, AI for content, you know, it's just like gone crazy, you know. And, you know, how do you feel about AI? Because AI, I think, could be used good in some ways. And in some ways, I think it could be abused and not so good for society. So what are your intakes about AI? And you know, how do you feel about the AI advancement that we've kind of come across, where it's like the new trend in thing? Every software has AI. Everything you see on, you know, you could download this software, it's AI, it makes it easier for you to write, it makes it easier for you to do this. So what's your intake?
So I'll tell you this. I'm so glad you said that it's been around for a long time, and you'll be shocked how long it is, because I mean, if you kind of extend the definition of AI to include any kind of automation, then, you know, it was even there in the times of Jason and the Argonauts, because there was this giant called Talos who used to guard the island of Crete. And it was actually just a giant machine. And it used to take three circles of the island, and it used to kind of throw boulders and stuff at invading ships and all that. So Jason and his Argonauts actually kind of defeated Talos by kind of removing basically what amounted to the fuel that was powering it.
Right.
And stuff like that. And there are stories like that in Indian mythology and all that, you know. And so...
Yeah.
AI or automation or building something as a replica of the human being or a superior version of yourself has been there for centuries. Interestingly, on the other side, the definition of AI, if you kind of go back, you know, one of the big issues with regulation of AI is the fact that people don't agree on the definition. So in fact, there was this conference, I forget when, somewhere in the 2000s, where they went into the conference with, you know, about 15 definitions of AI, and they came out of the conference with more definitions and not agreement on the 15. So that's a little bit of context. But having said that, AI or any piece of technology has a good and bad side. So it's just like medicine, right? I mean, there's a medicine which is a painkiller, or it becomes an opioid. There is dynamite that is used for road building, or you kind of use it for destructive purposes. So same is the case with AI. So, you know, you can use AI for research. You can use AI for doing a lot of things that would make your life simpler, easier, free up time for yourself to do other things.
Right.
But can it be used for bad? I mean, yeah, obviously, I mean, AI can be used for warfare. I mean, the Ukrainians and the Russians are using it, all kinds of stuff to kind of get at each other and stuff like that. So I think, at a more philosophical level, it kind of goes back to human nature. I mean, it's we who are in control of it, right?
Right.
So if we decide to choose to use it well or badly, I mean, it's really us. And I think we should not shy away from our responsibility. Saying AI is taking over the world, what can I do? I mean, that's nowhere near true at all, I think. I mean, despite whatever that, I mean, it's very much in our control. I think it does fantastic things, but I think it's nowhere near where we are getting replaced by humans, and it's really up to us what we do with it. We can do fantastic things. Technology can, you know, do a lot of great stuff. Maybe, you know, find hotspots on the planet, find new reserves of water, or, you know, restore art, what have you. But can it be stop people from doing something bad with it? Frankly, no. I mean, I think that the good versus evil battle will continue, and then people with access to the technology will use it for good and use it for bad. So,
right,
that's a problem we have to live with. But I mean, it's not a simple answer that, you know, we, you know, AI has become very bad, it will take us, take over, or it's all good.
Yeah,
so it's much more nuanced than that, I think.
Now, when it comes to technology, how does technology play a role in all areas of our lives? Because, you know, we are surrounded by technology. And, you know, you had mentioned before, like in specific areas like fashion, it, you know, technology takes a certain role. And then, you know, it has like, you know, in every industry, it takes a certain role. Is there a common role that technology does in all these areas, or for every industry, technology is used differently?
So I think in people find different uses for different things in technology. So I know for a fact that people use technology in wildlife conservation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just kind of spotting and identified snow leopards in the Himalayas, you know. So Microsoft was doing work in that to, you know, find them, track them, and figure out how many people are there. So tons of stuff. It was used in, so when the Notre Dame burned down, you know, they had to restore it. And the only, the best images of the Notre Dame were actually in the Assassin's Creed game. I mean, that's where they got the best images. So they can, you know, that was one of the big inputs that went into reconstruction of the Notre Dame. It was used by the Americans to find IEDs because of a prediction model that, you know, if you find a stockpile or if you find IED, you know, find IED, then the stockpile must be within so much radius. So there's a whole bunch of algorithms. So there is, you know, there is, I mean, the possibility is really infinite in terms of, you know, what you can do with technology. You know, today we are using AI to maybe, you know, give us suggestions on drafting letters, doing research. You know, Google is a clear example of great use of technology.
Right.
Google Maps is a use of great technology and great businesses. I think Uber wouldn't have existed if Google didn't exist, Maps didn't exist, mm-hmm. rideshare, then food delivery. You know, people order food just anywhere, you know, quick commerce. So there is a huge amount of things that touch our lives. You know, health and wellness has become a big area. You know, all the Apple Health and Fitbits of the world and the fitness rings. So there is tons of things that touch your life and which you can use that data and, you know, improve yourself. Or you can say that Google has all my data and they're going to, you know, they're going to misuse it. I mean, there is that aspect, of course, not mm-hmm. to be. But I think there is tons of things. I mean, you just need to sit back and look around and see there is huge uses of technology or technology being applied experimentally or at a mass scale.
Yeah.
As we talked about in India, at least as far as the digital public infrastructure is concerned. So great potential for good, like I always say, but yeah, I mean, you need to find the right and the use case that is going to drive the right benefit. But I think there is in, you know, people are always advancing technology in different facets. But you just need to figure out what should I use. I mean, just like the Notre Dame case, you know, I mean, you could have gone and kept on building models, but somebody thought, guess what? Let me just look at this game and see. You know, maybe they have the best image, and you know that. So that was it's kind of human ingenuity more than technological brilliance. work.
Now, if you wanted to take like everything we talked about and give a couple of takeaways of what you really want the audience to understand, what are some important things you'd like to emphasize?
So I think there's one thing I would definitely like to say to everyone is that you don't have to study technology to make a career in technology or a career in AI, because people keep asking me this, you know, can I become a professional? You know? I think my biggest takeaway from all of this is that if you are good in your field of work, then you can make a definite impact in technology. So, you know, if you are a artist, you can contribute to AI development because they're doing art. If you're a musician, you can be a great technology professional because people are trying to create playlists. There is an algorithm for that. Right. There is, you know, music appreciation. There is, you could be a sociologist. You could be a psychologist. You could be a historian. Anybody can become, can have a career in technology if you are great in your field of work. But not every technologist can become a historian or become this thing. So I think for people who are looking to understand technology better or even make a career in technology, that is my big takeaway. Because I think I get the feeling that everybody feels they're missing the AI bus and, you know, how do I get onto it and make a career? So I think there's, fret not, because, you know, you don't have to be a technologist, because all the biggest tech companies in the world are looking for people from the varying skill sets to build and train their models. And that, see, if you need to train someone to be like a human, you need to have all of these aspects, right?
Yes.
And all the senses. So I think that, I think, is a personal piece of advice that I can kind of leave with for everyone, more from a career and all point of view. And otherwise, I think from a technology, I think just being aware and knowing what's going on is half the battle. And right. then kind of tailoring it to what you need, you know, no need to over-engineer.
Right, right.
Yes, buy the right size refrigerator.
And don't get a bigger light bulb or a brighter light bulb than you need.
Absolutely.
Now, this has been so pleasurable. Like, where can people find you if they want to learn more about you and learn about some of the things you do and learn about your podcast? Where can they go to find more information on you?
So I'm there on LinkedIn, Samiran Ghosh. You can kind of look me up. I've got my own work Instagram page where I kind of keep posting stuff. That is my podcast. If you feel and you want to reach out to me, you can. I mean, LinkedIn is the best place. You can just leave a message and an in message. And if you want to just have a chat about something, I'm happy to do that. And after that, of course, even I've got to make a living. So maybe I'll charge.
Now, do you have a website people can go to, or a best?
No website right now.
Okay.
So I'm kind of a bit of a lone ranger. So I mean, because of this career transition, I decided that I'm kind of shrink my digital footprint a little bit. So I kind of just do work that I like to do.
Exactly.
People generally reach out to me, and I just take up work that I can do myself, and then leave the rest of the time to do other things. But like I said, LinkedIn's the best place. You can find me there. You can drop a line. I'll definitely get back to you.
And what are some of the things that you can help people with so they understand like some of the services you provide?
So,
I know there's a lot.
Not really that much. But I think that there are two types. I mean, people do come to me for doing keynote addresses, panel discussions, you know.
Yes.
So that's it. If you're kind of doing an event, if you want to kind of talk to a large group of people on any of these topics, I'm happy to do that. Between startups and large corporates, most of them are kind of either trying to build their product roadmap, a go-to-market strategy, you know, grow their business. Or for the large corporates, it's kind of they're embarking on their digital journey. You know, they want to figure out, you know, how they can kind of adopt new technologies, you know, grow, become and remain more relevant vis-a-vis their competition, vis-a-vis the more agile startups. So those are the kind of people that kind of come to me. And just a word of caution that, you know, I'm provide advisory services. A lot of people like me to get involved in long projects, which I typically don't do because it's difficult to do yourself, but I'm kind of in an advisory capacity, always available.
That's great. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. You know, this has been amazing. I've really enjoyed, you know, speaking with you. I hope you'll come back on the show. Maybe we can dive into some of these topics and go more in depth about some of the topics we touched base on today. But, you know, this has been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming and providing us with a world of information. You know, technology, there's so much to learn when it comes to technology because it's an ever-changing world. And, you know, sometimes we have to really focus on us, the product, the service, and not get so wrapped up in all the technologies that are out there. Because like you said, you know, you don't want to get a bigger light bulb than you need, you know?
Absolutely. I think what I probably landed up doing is I kind of busted every other technology. I'd say there's not much to learn. So so be it. I think it's way simpler than it sounds, and it's really up to you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been wonderful. I've really had a great time. Thank you.
Same here. Thanks so much, Stacey, for having me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much.